Brainwashed in my youth, picked up the juice, money on Bible college, train rides to school, playing follow the leader. What am I to believe that I blindly believe when I got a Bible to read? That I got down on my knees the one way to God, drop down to plead, a total waste of my time. It's the same alive, it's the same alive. It's really important to write the same alive.
All these other religions all teach the same thing. He obviously doesn't have an understanding of these religions. Atheism doesn't teach the same thing as theism. All of these, beliefs are all the same. What Islam believes about Allah and what the Christian believes about the triune God are two different things. All religions at best are superficially similar, but they are fundamentally different.
I understand what they feel, what they think, but this feels everything being trained the world of the Christian built by abuse and oppression, busting the mission field, and the revolutions, they strike at the blood spills when they bloody the blood, Islamic fighters respond, was the strength of the world, and then the battles arise, all for the glory shine, Japanese empire, rule with an iron rod, but this is the will of God.
Radio, the Prodigal Church Hour. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you for live from Southern California. It is now 3:03 p.m. It is now the 12th of August, 2016, and you're live on the Prodigal Church Hour with Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken 65. God bless each and every one of you for being here, and praise God that they unlocked me and let me back into the house of Facebook Live. I don't even know why I was censored or cut off yesterday, but I guess they gave me a 24-hour timeout, so to speak, for playing music, which I always play music, but I guess you can't play anybody else's second of music because it's copy infringed or something. And the thing about it was I didn't share the music or the page like I normally would do. I actually just played a song, and all of a sudden now that's a problem. So let's hope that that won't happen because of the song I just played today. I don't think they'll censor me for any Christian music, but you never know. You never know. Welcome again to the Prodigal Church Hour. Again, 646-668-8468. If you can't watch the live stream, You can always call in. Unfortunately, because it's not a paid site, or I'm not paying for it right now, they only allow me like five people to listen. But it haven't been that many people calling in. Most people usually listen or watch from the video live stream or Facebook Live. But again, welcome all who are here. I see you there, Sister Naomi. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All that might watch later, bless you as well. And again, hey, you can reach out to me on Facebook, instant message, as well as you can reach out to me through Gmail at dkendricksr@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at dkendricksr@65 on Twitter. And you can, of course, just reach out to me, period. And you got a question, a comment, if there's something that you want to ask, if you need prayer, hey, don't hesitate. We all need to lift up one another. I need you guys to pray for me, and I'm sure there's times you need somebody to pray for you. So, hey, I want to be an encourager. I want to help you grow. I want to help you get all that what God has for you, just like the rest of us. 646-668-8468 is our call-in number right now. And I want to thank you guys for your support. So let's go before the Lord. But before we do that, I want to make a quick, what is today's topic? Today's topic is called Be Still and Know Jesus. Be still and know Jesus. But it might be a simple message for most of us, because if you have a relationship with God, it's something that you already are working out and you're walking out. But there might be some people here, and I want to never forget that not everybody that's going to listen to the program, the message, is a believer, or everybody is not really where they should be. Some people have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. And we want to make sure that we address that. We want to make sure that people understand that a relationship with Jesus Christ is not just knowing the facts about him. You can know all of the facts about Christ and still be lost. And we want you to know by faith that you have a relationship with him. We want you to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and your Messiah, and that if you die today, you have eternal life. Not just knowing the information will get you into sanctification, or will it get you in regeneration. Demons have that. Demons know who Jesus is, but they're not going to be saved. Amen? So we want to make sure that people understand and know their relationship and know who Jesus Christ is. And it's important that we always emphasize that and take you back to the basics sometimes. So I want to make sure that we address that, because I don't want to assume that everybody's listening does know. And then it might be for somebody, you might have some family members that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and maybe they don't want to go to church. Maybe they're not listening. But hey, you can share this on your page. At the end, you can share this with other people who might be lost that need a relationship with Jesus Christ. They might get saved, and then next thing you know, hey, the word is going forth and it's touching souls. Amen? So, hey, we want to definitely address. Be still and know Jesus is the title of our message today. And it's just a one-part message, but it's a powerful message because God is bringing it to us so we can know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for redemption. The people here today, Lord, we pray, Lord God, every one of them is secure and standing on the rock. The foundation of their faith is Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we need to know that we know you, and we're walking in you, and we're walking with you. We don't want to just be just Sunday morning Christians. We don't want to be just Bible study Christians. We don't want to be Christians just when we're around other Christians. We want to be Christians every day, all day. And we need to know that we're in right standing with you. It's not about legalism. It's about having a life-formed, life-governed relationship, that the Holy Spirit is ruling and reigning with us, and that we're following you. Because there's no better place to be than in your arms, walking with you everywhere we go. So we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We ask, Lord God, that we decrease, that I decrease, that you increase in me and in all of us, that we may know you, the power of your resurrection. And for those who do not have a relationship, we pray that this message will touch them and bring them to the cross, that they would no longer be lost. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. again, great message last night. If you guys are looking on my page right now, if you scroll down, look at that Core Church app, please go and listen to going to the Core Church on the Core Church app. Look at yesterday's message. It's called Hope, the Hope in God. I believe that's the title of it. Pastor Steve did a great message out of Romans chapter 11. And I want to encourage you guys to check it out. Check it out. It was a powerful message. And again, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a Bible-based church, Bible-teaching church, where the love of God is being shared abroad, I want to invite you to come out to Core Church of Los Angeles, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Sunday mornings, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 noon. You can come get fed, you can come serve, you can come be built up in your faith, but most of all, friends, you can come and experience the love of Jesus Christ shared from the people that love him, that walk with him, that are growing in the Word. So I want to encourage you. The reason I can be more loving is because I got a family of people who love God, and they're showing me how to show that, shine that love to love on each other. And when I get around my brothers and sisters, it's not just about hearing the Word. It's not about hearing the Word only. It's about being a part of the Word of God, being in fellowship with people and growing with them and gleaning from them and learning from them. There's a lot of people that know Jesus, that know Jesus better than I do, and they've known him longer, and they can love on me when I'm going through some things and encourage me, and that's what I need. So I want to invite you. You might have some family members in the Los Angeles area that need a place of worship. Tell them to come check out Core Church. You can go to www.corechurchla.org. They can check out all of the messages as well as what Core Church is about. And next Saturday is going to be a double blessing because they're going to have a men's fellowship out in Los Alamitos. There's going to be a men's fellowship with Frank Sontag, his show. They're going to have a men's prayer breakfast, and Pastor Omer from Faithful Central will be giving a message there. And then Core Church is going to be off having its first Core Church picnic or potluck at the park, which is out in around in the Venice area or West LA area. So I'll be talking to you more about that if anybody wants to check it out. But next Saturday, we'll be having a Core Church family get together with the body of Christ, and people will be bringing food, and this is going to be a great time of fellowship. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just grateful for where I'm at and the growth. And at the end of the month, I will be participating in the Harvest Crusade Fellowship, serving. Going to be trying to be out there to share the message and encourage those follow-up ministries at Harvest Crusade at Anaheim Stadium. That's at the last weekend of this month. Pastor Greg Laurie does these events all over the country, and he's Pastor Steve's mentor. He's going to be doing the annual Harvest Crusade of Anaheim, California. You'll follow that up if you just go to Harvest Crusade. So a lot of information, I know, but hey, praise God for the kingdom work, evangelism, and people going out and sharing their faith and loving on each other. Amen? Amen. All right. Last but not least, hey, again, I will invite you to continue to pray for this ministry and continue to pray with your offering. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit, please donate to the GoFund account as you see it posted up. You can donate $5, $10, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Please prayerfully consider donating to the GoFund account. And I always think, I said, man, if just 1,000 people gave a dollar each, hey, it wouldn't be that much, you know. It could go a long way in helping us do some things. And that's all I'm asking for is, hey, just as the Lord leads you, as the Lord ministers to you through me, just be, hey, Brother Joe, God bless you, man. God bless you. As he ministers to you, minister back to me if you can. And it's not a give to get rich quick scheme. Like I said, I wouldn't ask if it wasn't a need. So praise the Lord on that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's move on. What does it mean to know Jesus? What does it mean to know Jesus? Well, we can spend a lifetime in this book, because every passage of Scripture, Old and New Testament, always takes us back to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because Jesus in the Old Testament is in a type and shadow But the Jesus is in the Jesus in the New Testament is him. He's been revealed or been brung from the shadows of these Old Testament pages of Scripture. Every verse refers back in some way or another, refers to our Messiah, which would come. And now that he has come in the New Testament, we have a relationship because of our, I guess you could say, our forefathers, those Old Testament, those New Church disciples, apostles, they were being built up in the faith. They were waiting for this Messiah to come. And Jesus Christ, when he came, there was one particular where Peter was asked, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he went on to say, "You are the Christ, Son of God, Son of the living God." And we need to know him for ourselves. We must have a personal relationship with this Jesus. But we're going to deal with an Old Testament verse. And it's just one verse that's going to open this up. And from there, we're going to go on and we're going to look at what does it mean to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And how that relationship should affect our lives individually. It should have a lasting effect because of what we know and the fact that we have a relationship with him, we're not going to only be blessed, but others around us, others as they see Christ working through us, they can be touched. You don't know how much your life will minister to somebody until you know that you're living a life for Christ. Amen? Psalms 47 verse 10 tells us this. He tells us, well, let me, you know what, before we do that, that's the verse we're going to come to, but let's go back to verse 1 of this whole chapter because I want us to read this in context. Psalms 46 in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at the swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tore it. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has wrought desolations in the earth? He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word, and may you fill us up with wisdom and knowledge and teach us all things pertaining to life and godliness, that we may know you, the power of your resurrection. The verse that we want to hang on right here is, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, when we look at this, this is a type right here because we know that most people will talk about knowing God, but he doesn't just want us to know that there is a God. We already know that. Most people are born, everybody is born with a nature or with a indwelling knowledge, or I guess you could say we already have it in us that there is a creator, that there's somebody that created all this. This world is just not, didn't just come, but it came. And it came in a very divine way. Because you could not, if you look at how the how these New Age or these basic people like Darwin and people who deny that there was a creator and they say that the world just evolved, it makes no sense because evolution does not give you a plan. It's just kind of like, I'm going to think about how it evolved, but now I got to come from nothing and create something, and I say that nothing created itself. And I'm no scientist, but when you say nothing created itself, that makes no sense. There's no common sense in that. Nothing created itself? Really? Because what you're saying is, you're saying that ooze became fish, and fish became monkeys, and so on and so on and so on, and it sounds ludicrous. It really sounds ludicrous. Because I'm still saying, well, what happened to the, once the monkey became human, and over all these billions of years ago, what happened, why the monkey stopped evolving? And what did the monkey become after that? Because you said we started out as fish. Now from fish to, well, no, we started out as ooze and this big old blob, and it just eventually evolved into something. I mean, it takes more faith to believe that foolishness. And that's, you're really walking in a blind faith with that. There's no faith there because it makes no sense. If you just put a blob just to sit there for the next 100 years, if you can watch that long, it's not going to change it enough. It's not going to change into a fish. It's not going to change into some monkey, and it's not going to change into a human. And as we saw, you know, not even a couple of months ago, how this monkey grabbed this little boy in the zoo and basically was carrying it around like it was his child, but the monkey wasn't a human being. The monkey wasn't human. The monkey was a monkey. This monkey was not a human being. It might have been treating it like a child, but that monkey was a monkey and the child was a human. But you see that, we see here in verse 10, he says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." In other words, the devolutionists, as I like to call them, the devolutionists basically are striving to take away the deity and the wisdom of God and deny there is a God. They're basically telling us we don't need to look to God because there is no God. And they become a demigod or a god to themselves. If you heard my message yesterday, this is what's happening when we have heart problems or heart troubles in the spiritual sense. Our pride, humanity's pride has basically said, I don't need to listen to anybody higher than myself. Oh, I'll follow the human authority, but I'm not going to listen to anybody besides the humanity. So, therefore, they deny the fact that there is a God, a creator, one who has called us out of nothing. When he spoke the worlds into existence, he can do that because guess what? He's the creator. He was the one who was the masterpiece. He was the one who was basically carving out his canvas as he saw fit. The mountains, the grass, the oceans, and everything that was in it. He put it all together. So he tells us, cease striving and know that I am God. Stop trying to figure me out and know that I exist. Know that I existed before the foundations of the world. Know that I existed because I am the great I am. He says, I will be exalted among the nations, not just America. He's not the God of America. He's the God of all nations. All four corners of the earth belong to him. He knows every single person in every region, in every continent, in every part of the world. He knows them by name. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. God is not limited in his knowledge of us. We're limited in our knowledge of knowing him. And the only thing we have is the word of God. So that's what we walk in. We walk in faith. But this faith is not blind faith because he tells us who he is. Notice what he says in Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord most high to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Over all the earth, God says. He says, and then he goes on, he says, he subdues people. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Notice that God is in control, friends. God is in total control. And we need to look at here, what does it mean to be still and know God? Well, the Bible clearly tells us much things about how we can know God, and not just know that he exists, but to know him in an intimate way. And for those that know, praise God. We still want to know. We want to go to the next level of where we're supposed to go to in our knowledge of God. We don't want to just be pseudo-Christians just barely getting in. We want to get in because we have taken time to spend time with God. We want to have that intimate love relationship that we can share with others. We don't want to just be, oh, I've got a relationship with God, and my relationship with God is my relationship with God, and, you know, whatever you believe is what you believe. No. If I really know God and I love him, I want other people to know him and love him. Why? Because Jesus is coming back for his bride, and he's coming back soon. So it's important for us to get people married off to Jesus. Amen? So let's look at this. Be still and know Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted. The nations, I am exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. We all need to be filled with the presence and the love of Jesus. Then we will love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We will be impelled by the love of Christ to give away the Father's love to all we meet. That's what I just said, right? This relationship with us, friends, this relationship with us and God is not about just us. It's about us plus those who are dying in a lost world. We don't need to just know God for ourselves. We need to know God so we can be able to give answers to those who are dying. There are many lost souls around the world, many lost souls that we run into every day. And we stop to think about the fact that because we know Jesus, they need to know Jesus. Have we thought about the fact that just stopping and taking a moment just to ask them, do you know there's a God in heaven that loves you? Do you know there's a God in heaven that came down to earth and died for your sin? And that he stretched his arms out. He gave his life for your soul. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him by faith, confessing your sins and repenting of your sins, that you may be saved of your sins and that you may be a new creation that God can use, that you may go out and share this message, this love message. You know, we live in a world where everybody's in love at the moment. Everybody's in love. As soon as they get a new mate, a new boo, and the world's transitional definition of love is based on feelings and lust, 90% of it. Because in the beginning of the relationship, you can't get enough of your boo. You can't get enough of being around that person in the beginning. But what is this relationship, this love relationship with God? This relationship is not built on the flesh. It's built up in the spirit. So our relationship with God must be a relationship that we will share with others who are lost. This is a spiritual birth that has taken place in our lives, and we need to share it with people who are dying. People out here committing suicide. People out here dying on drugs. People out here dying with AIDS and other STDs and all kinds of diseases because they're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance, but they're not looking for Jesus Christ. And we need to shine the light, my friends. We need to shine the light. Again, Christians who first soak in the presence of Jesus will outperform others by about 10-1. The power of the love of God will carry them on the wings of the Holy Spirit. It won't be a work to them. It will be a labor of love. They will not tire and burn out. You notice that I've noticed this. I might get tired of a lot of things, but when it comes to doing this, I love it. I have something inside of me that has to get this message out. He's filling me up with so much of him to the point, and I'm not saying that I'm like super spiritual or super anointed or anything, but I just know what God has called me to do, and he's called me to speak it out, to get it out, the passion that I have for him, the love I have for him. I can't contain it. It can't be shut up inside my bones. I want to share it. and others need to know that God will give you a desire for him. It might not be in the same sense, but God wants each and every one of his children to play a part in ministry of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Justin Cornwall, in his book, Let Us Draw Near, Words It So. Well, when he explains soaking sand, God's presence is a radiating energy that can be absorbed. It is not fast acting. It takes quite a while to soak in. In other words, being in a relationship with God, it can be, you know, 3 or 4 years before God wants to soak you in to where you're ready. You got to absorb much of the word, much of the spirit, and get rid of much of you. God wants to get rid of quite a bit of us so he can use us for we can be ready. This is God's presence is a radiating energy that can be absorbed. It is not fast acting. It takes quite a while to soak in. As priests were exposed to God's presence day and night for a full week in the tabernacle, they were charged with the glory and the presence of God. Yes, the priest, the high priest, and all these priests doing their rituals, they spent a week in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, and it was in the presence of God. They had to get clean. They had to be prepared. One of the greatest benefits of soaking is prayer. Prayer is receiving the love of God, and again, Francis McNutt said, soaking through to the core of something dry that needs to be revived. Taking time, soaking prayer invites the love of our Heavenly Father to seep into the painful cores, issues of our lives, and bring healing and renewal. There have been countless testimonies from those who have had deep experiences of the Father's love while being filled with the Spirit. And I tell you, friends, I'm guilty. This is my weakness. Prayer, lack of prayer, or struggle with prayer. That was a bit that I'm telling on myself. That's my weakness. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. 646-668-8468. If you'd like to call in, because I know this Facebook Live, my internet connection has been really, really going through some things. But again, we have to soak in through prayer and meditation in God's word. But prayer is the key that unlocks that prayer, getting into the presence of God. It will open up the door where we can get into the presence of God. And it's important for us to get into the presence of God so we can get into prayer with God, so we can get in the right state with God. We want to be in the right place where God will speak to us and we will know him. We don't want to just be here. We want to know him and the power of his resurrection. We want to have a relationship that is God growing. Remember what he said back here? One of the things he said? He says, it's the radiating energy that can be, God's presence is a radiating energy that can be absorbed. It is not fast acting. It takes quite a while to soak in. It's not fast acting. It means you might have to persevere in prayer. You might have to persevere in the word of God. You might be on your face or on your knees or just bent in your heart. When you bend your heart and you get in the presence of God. Lord, speak to me. Lord, talk to me. Pastor Steve admonished us last night. He said, sometimes you need to just shut up. Don't go and tell 50 people. Go and tell God. Go and speak to God. Tell him your troubles. Tell him your worries. Tell him your concerns. Tell him what you're struggling with. And stop telling it to everybody else who will go and gossip it. Sometimes we just need to go, we need to be humble and go before the Lord and cry out to God. Lord, I hate this situation. I hate what I'm going through. You can be real with God and still be holy. You can be angry and still be holy. Being angry is not the sin. We already learned that. The sin is when we're angry and do something foolish. God is trying to get us to a place of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. The father is seeking quality relationship with his children. His children are frequently caught up in the rat race. We get caught up in the world, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of the devil. We're so worried about who's going to be the next president instead of worried about who is still king of this world, who's the ruler, who owns it, who's the one that came down from heaven and conquered death on the cross. We're worried about the wrong thing. Because, see, the believer don't have to worry about death, but we still worry about death. And maybe we'll worry about death because we're not really walking in eternal life, in the mindset of having an eternal life mindset. Believers should have an eternity mindset. Not worried about when you're going to die or how you're going to die or if you're going to die. Yes, we're going to die. We're going to give up the ghost one day. At least we're going to give up this temple. We're going to leave earth. Now, when you go afterwards, if you don't know, if you don't know you're going to heaven, then yes, you should be concerned. And the way you fix that is to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. To seek him. To have a relationship. The Father is seeking quality relationships with his children. His children are frequently too caught up in the rat race of doing life down here. His purpose includes giving us everything we need, but our greatest need is high-quality time soaking in his presence. High-quality time soaking in God's presence. Soaking in the presence of God. Which one is more important? Do you think God came here to die so you can get that flat screen, get that new car, get a bunch of kids, a wife, a husband, get that big house? Or do you think God came here for you to know him, to be still and know him? Do you think God wants more of a relationship with you or to be in competition with you and your stuff that he allowed you to have, but now that stuff owns you and you're no concern, you're not concerned about it? Oh, well, you know, you tell somebody, well, I got something to do for the Lord, or I want to go worship. But I got this and that to do. And God knows he gave you 24 hours a day, but what's the purpose of your relationship? How much out of that 24 hours a day, out of 7 days a week, does God get? Because, see, even when you're working on your secular job, you're still working as unto the Lord. When you and I are working on our secular jobs, when we're out there doing whatever we're doing, we still do everything all to the glory of God, because guess what? You're in God's army, so you belong to God 24/7 a day. It's not just about you. It's no longer about you. It wasn't about you the moment that you came to Jesus. And when you became to a level of maturity, God really holds us much more accountable, because he wants us to be in this relationship that's ongoing. Not just ongoing, ongrowing. 646-668-8468. Are we growing? Are we seeking him? Are we seeking him? We're told here that the Father is seeking quality relationships with us. He also tells us he will fill your heart with love, awe, and amazement. But we need to be patient and persevere, remembering that we are instant people. That's how we are. We have become a microwave generation. We want everything to look. You got people that have taken this. I'm going to name that and claim that and then expect God to give it to them overnight. But you can claim it and name it all day long. But guess what? If it ain't God's will, it's not going to come your way. Why would God give you $1 million when you can't even handle $1,000? Why would God give you $100,000 when you can't even handle $100? God is not going to bless our mess so that we can digress or basically backslide against him. He's not going to give you stuff that's going to take you away from him. You think God is foolish? God's not a fool. He's a God of wisdom. He would not give us anything that's going to take us away from the cross. He's not going to give us anything that's going to hinder our walk with him. God wants to fill our hearts. He says he will fill your heart with love, awe, and amazement. But we need to be patient and persevere, remembering that we are instant people. Our tendency is to try it, and if there are no instant results, we throw the towel in and quit. God's timetable and ours are two different animals. He is in no rush. We definitely are. We're told to persevere. We're told that we need to do trials and tribulations, friend. We're told to persevere. God wants us to know him. Notice what we're told here pertaining to Psalms 46:10. Again, reminded of the verse. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalms 46:11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Psalms 103, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. We read that and talked about that last week. Are you a sheep of God's pasture? Does Jesus Christ know you? Do you know Jesus Christ? We know Jesus knows us, but does he know you in that intimate way where you and I are growing in his grace and mercy? We're growing in a relationship. It's an ongoing relationship. It's not a relationship where we gave ourselves or we claim to profess Christ back maybe about when we were 7, 8, 9, 10. But then God hasn't seen us for the last 40 years. And when I say he hasn't seen you, I mean there's no relationship that he knows about. He knows you. He knows what you've been doing. He's seen the foolishness that you've been living by. He knows that you have not been worshiping him. You only call out to him when there's something going wrong in your life. You only talk to him when you want something from him. But then you're back into the saddle with your sin and with your flesh. That's not knowing God. Hey, you imagine yourself, maybe you were 8 or 9, let's just say you were 20, and you had this relationship going on with your, maybe a young lady or a young man, depending on who you are. You got this, well, if you're a man, it would be a woman would be a man. But you had this relationship, and you, say you enlisted and went to the service, but before you enlisted and went to the service, you had you got married. So there's a covenant with this woman or man, and you go off to the service. Now, you going off to the service, you never came back. You didn't die, but you never came back. So your wife or your spouse don't know where you at. You basically just abandoned. You never called, never wrote a letter. Now, if you just popped up one day and said, I think I'll go home to my wife or my spouse. 20, 30 years later, you would say, man, are you crazy? I haven't heard from you. Or lady, I ain't heard from you for 20 or 30 years. That's how some folks have their relationship with Christ is. They made a profession way back at about 7, 8, 9, 10, but now they're 35, 40, 50 years old, and God does not know them. There's not been an ongoing relationship. They don't talk to God except when they're in trouble. They always want to talk, but God's not hearing you when you're in trouble only. God wants you to come to him, and he wants you to have an intimate, personal, ongoing relationship that is a relationship that you acknowledge him, not just knowing about him, but you know the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made you and not you making yourself. And you know that you are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, Psalms 103. Does that God know you? And do you know that God? See, with Lucifer, you can kind of do this, you know, hey, Satan, I'm going to hang out with you today. And Satan say, hey, you was hanging out with me already. It's cool, dog. Satan already got you. He don't care if you acknowledge him as God, just as long as you're doing the evil, dastardly deeds that he set on course for you to do. Because, see, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't need you to be mushy-mushy with him. All you got to do is just keep on with your sin, and I'm going to let you in hell. That's how Lucifer works. 6:4, 6:6, 6:8. 8468. We're talking about knowing Jesus. Do you know him? Be still and know Jesus. Many people, they know about him. They don't know. They don't know him. Hallelujah. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Again, he tells us the word of God says, I have stilled my soul, hushed it like a weaned child, like a weaned child on its mother's lap. So is my soul within me, Psalms 131:2. But the devil comes along, and knowing that an intimate relationship with Jesus will break his influence on us, tells us that our greatest need is to get more out of this world. Get more out of your friends down here. Get more from him. See, Satan wants to set you up to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care about you and me. He hates us. He hates what we stand for. And as long as he can keep you out of the will of God, therefore you won't walk in the way of God. As long as he can keep you from walking in the way of God, you won't be living by the truth of God's word. Remember, he can't stand you. He can't stand you. When you stand up for Jesus, he's trying to knock you down. When are you gonna let go and let God have you? When are you going to stop trying to run with the devil and run with Jesus? See, having a relationship with Jesus is a marriage. Having a relationship with Jesus means there's a covenant, and God doesn't take it lightly. You better be careful when you commit to Christ, because committing your life to Christ means I'm no longer of this world. I'm no longer of the flesh. I'm no longer a child of the devil. I cannot have a relationship with God and have a relationship with the devil and that I still get into the kingdom with God. It's not going to happen. A comfortable place of solitude where there are no distractions is a necessity. Maybe early in the morning when the whole world seems to be quiet, gazing at a crucifix from your favorite chair or watching the sun come up. When we say crucifix, we're not talking about a literal cross. That ain't going to help you. But gazing towards the cross of Christ in your mind, in your spirit, having that intimate relationship, understanding that that relationship with God, when he was on the cross, friends, what happened to him? What happened? God poured his wrath. God the Father poured out his wrath upon his Son. On he who knew no sin would become a sin bearer for you and me. He who died for our trespasses and sins. God is calling and reckoning us. He wants to reconcile. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. But that relationship will only flourish as you die to self and pick up your cross and follow him. Luke chapter 9, verse 25, he says, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and pick up his cross. Are you ready to pick up your cross? Is your cross still hanging in you? Maybe it's hanging, laying on the floor at your bedroom. Maybe your cross is in the kitchen or in the living room. Maybe it's in the garage or up in the attic. Have you picked up your cross? Too many people talking about the cross. A lot of people carrying their cross daily. So when you carry your cross daily, you're no longer concerned about this world. You're not concerned about what you didn't get in your flesh. You're not concerned about what the devil is trying to offer you. You already know what you got. And the cross represents death to myself, the flesh, and the world. The devil and the world. Flesh, the devil and the world. I got to die. As long as I'm crucified, then it's not me that's living, it's Christ living in me. And then I'm focused on the cross. I'm focused on what Christ has for me versus what this crooked, perverted world has. Because it can't offer me nothing that's going to be eternity. Again, we're told that listening to a worship CD can be helpful. You know, you can get into the presence of God with meditation songs. I posted some up on my Facebook page. Some of those great meditation scripture songs. You can get into your time in the Word. 20, 30 minutes can go a long way. Get up and early. Seek the Lord. Get up early. Meditate. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. God doesn't want you to be poor in spirit. He wants you to be rich in spirit, rich in faith. Listening to a worship CD can be helpful. However, solitude is the key. Without it, intimacy will not happen. When we are soaking with Jesus, the scripture, all of us, gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces, are being transformed from. What is being transformed? From the things of this world, from the things that can consume us, the cares of this world, your children, your mother, father, sister, brother. So many things are trying to take our time from God. And God gives you the time. He gives us 24 hours in a day. Nothing should take the time that he wants to spend with us away from him. He wants all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. 646-668-8468. So important for us to grow. So important for us to know. The glory to God into his very image by the Lord who is the Spirit, is the Spirit becomes a reality. See, God has given us himself. By Spirit, we've been born again. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus was asked these, he went to ask these questions, and Jesus sets them straight. And even says, you being a teacher of the law, you don't understand what I'm talking about? Now, Nick was having a moment that day. This is now verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night. Who was in him? Came to Jesus by night. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now Jesus starts to lay down a little bit of anatomy to him. He says, wait a minute, Nick, you're missing it. What's been born from the flesh is human, it's fleshly. But that which is born from above is spiritual, supernatural. Only God can perform this. This being born again, Nick, has nothing to do with you on earth. It has something to do with you in the heavens. Because see, you're already here, Nick. You're a grown man. But right now, you need to understand that you need to be born from above. You need a supernatural regenerating action that must take place in your life. And you must know Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to see the kingdom, only way you're going to see heaven, is to have this supernatural new birth experience. See, this was a religious man, no, without a doubt. Nick was a very religious guy. Pharisee of Pharisees. Pharisees of Pharisees. Stand by, everybody. Got a little break in my webcast, as usual. Nick thought he was going to... He thought he was smart, you know. He knew that Jesus was a teacher, but he's missing this. He's thinking something totally off the chain, off the wall. He's thinking about something down here. Most of all of these religious people during this time of Jesus' ministry, they wanted Jesus to set the kingdom straight. They wanted them basically to get rid of Rome. They thought he was a king for this earth. They thought that Jesus had come down here to take Rome out of power. They was looking for a Messiah that would come and set the record. They wasn't looking for a one that would had come from above. They was missing all of that. They was looking for one to put everything in order. Hey, to trample over Rome, because Rome was ruling Israel. And they wanted a king that was ready to take authority, to take over Rome. Jesus didn't come here to do that. He didn't come here to crush the Roman Empire. He came to save sinners. He came to show man light of the cross. He came to show mankind what he must do to be saved. He came to save souls. And today, friends, many people today are trying to get into the kingdom by way of power on earth. They're trying to fix this world when God says there is not going to be any peace on this earth. There's not going to be peace down here on earth. The only peace there's going to be is by having a relationship with the King of Peace. There's not going to be any peace on this earth. This peace that you see right now is not really peace. Peace can only come when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you can have his peace. Brother Tracy, God bless you. We don't need to be looking for peace on earth. We need to be looking at peace at the cross. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to know our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Yeshua. People like to talk about being a Jew. Being a Jew by heritage won't mean anything if you have not experienced the free gift of forgiveness, the free gift of salvation, the relationship that must come by way of faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and spirit, he or she will not enter or see the kingdom of God. Do you know Jesus? Have you made a commitment to Christ? Does he know you? And I'm not talking about knowing you as a sinner. Does he know you in the sense that you're his child? That you've been born again, that you've been washed in the blood, that you've been sanctified. Have you been crucified with Christ? And it's no longer you that lives, but now Christ lives in you. That's the question, friend. That's the question. Have we been crucified with Christ? When Christ went to the cross, have you been taken to the cross? Have you your sins been dealt with? Have you dealt with your sins before our Maker, our God? Remember back here again, Psalms 103. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Are you part of the shepherd's fold? Are you and I part of the shepherd's fold? Or are we basically, we running around with wolves? We're part of the wolf pack. There's a lot of people that's going, hanging out with so-called shepherds. They claim the name of Jesus. They claim to have a relationship with him. But they're not really sheep, friends. These are wolves wearing sheep's clothing. And all they're training for is to come in and steal, kill, and destroy the flock of God. That's what they're training to do. Brother Brian, God bless you. Sister Sam. This is a problem. Because you can't know him, you can't know the Messiah, and be in your mess. This can't be your lifestyle. Knowing Jesus means I give up me, because I want to know more about him. Isaiah 2:11 says this, the proud look of a man will be abased, and the loftiness of a man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Oh, yes, there's going to come a day, my friend. There's going to come a day. There's many people that's got that pride. They don't want Jesus, or they want God. They want to have a relationship. They want to talk about God all day long, but they don't want Jesus. They don't want the Messiah. They're too prideful for that. I'm not trusting Jesus. You got some Jews like that. You got some Jews that have that mentality. No, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that. But God still wants you. God wants me. God wants all of us. He doesn't desire any to perish, but all to come to repentance. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? God is still reckoning people, because he wants the world to come to him by faith. He wants man to humble himself and drop their pride and to resist the devil. But you can't resist the devil until you have a relationship with God. See, pride says, I'm going to walk with the devil. Humility says, I'm giving up the devil's reign over me. He no longer has control over me, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk with the one who has the power both to kill me and my soul. He told me don't worry about the one that can kill the flesh only. I need to worry about the one that can kill both flesh and soul. I don't want to go to hell. You? Much of the anxiousness of life is lifted when we enter into a lifestyle of soaking with Jesus. This word soaking is good, friend. Soaking in Jesus means to be in the presence, in you and God alone. We getting along with God on a daily basis, soaking, meditating. 10 minutes may be to start out, and it can end up being in the hours. Whatever he wants to talk to you about, soaking in his presence. Like I said, friends, I'm guilty. I struggle. But I definitely got to make time to start to get into the presence of God. I want to know Jesus. I want to know all that he has for me. Because there's so much, when we soak in his presence, when we get in and meditate on him and think and just lift him up in praise and then just shut up and let God speak. We was reminded last night of how was a prophet, it was Elisha and Elijah, how Elijah had come into, he was looking for God in the whirlwind, but God came in that still small voice. We looking sometimes for God to scream, and God don't want to scream, he wants to just talk to us, but we're too busy with the noises around us, the TVs and the phones and all of these things are clouding and suffocating and strangling the voice of God. To where it doesn't mean that God don't love you and that you're not in a relationship, but how is our relationship growing? How much of a relationship are we really getting from the Holy Spirit speaking to us one-on-one? You know, sometimes it's not just reading your Bible. You done read it. Now God wants to interpret and wants to give you he wants to sit and talk to you and counsel with you. Sometimes we just need to lay on our backs, on our faces, and, you know, hey, I got bad knees, but some of us got bad knees in wheelchairs. Sometimes it's just saying, Lord, I need you to speak to me, Lord. I don't want to say nothing. I just want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. Talk to me, Holy Spirit. He says, much of our anxiousness of life is lifted when we enter into a lifestyle of soaking with Jesus. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Jesus. They are whiplashed from one direction to another by the many voices we listen to, and as a result, never find true peace. It is really a big deal when we finally find that place of peace and rest, because it means we have found the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, John 14:27. How many of us get afraid? How many of us worry and stress and let anxiety take a stronghold over us to the point where we don't know what we're going to do. We like doors that fall off hinges. You imagine driving down the street, you got a brand new car, and the door just fell off. If you had to think about that door falling off from the moment that you got in the car, and you got to go down the highway, and you know the door going to fall off at some time. Say, for instance, the seatbelt don't work either. But you're driving 70 miles an hour, 65, going down the highway, but you know that that door is going to fall off. You would not be at peace because you stressed you already. When is it going to fall off? When is it going to fall off? Or say, for instance, you want to sit down on a chair, and that chair, you just know that one of those chairs, those legs are going to fall. Or you're on a ladder, and you know the ladder is not going to support you. That would make you crazy, because you would be always worried, when is it going to happen? You don't know when it's going to happen, but you just know it's going to happen eventually, sooner or later. He says, my peace. My peace. God wants, has given us already, like I shared this yesterday, God has given us everything that we need to live a holy life. All we have to do is go to the tool shed and pull out the tools that we need accordingly. God has made those provisions for all believers. Every one of his children has access into the tool shed to get the resources that they need to be equipped so that they can be ready to worship God in spirit and in truth. Remember, we're not waiting for God to come and give us the blessing. We've already been seated in heavenly places. We've already been given everything that we need to live a holy and godly life, and that we don't have to be anxious about anything because God, the Prince of Peace, has already given us what we need to live life godly and to walk with him. The only question would be, if you're, or do you know him? That would be the only question. Because, see, I can't speak for everybody. I don't know everybody. I don't talk to everybody. I just know what the people that I meet, and guess what? I don't know what they're doing in their private time. I don't know how much their relationship is growing with God. It can be a temporary relationship. It can be just that surface relationship. It can be a relationship where come to church and put on that mask of religion, and the rest of the day you basically doing all the things that the devil wants you to do. But I do know one thing. You can't fake the fruits of the Spirit. You can't fake peace. You can't fake love. You can't fake joy, kindness, self-control. You can't fake it. Yo, the good tree has to bear good fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that we will know them by their fruits. The good tree must produce good fruits. Why? Because our great shepherd, the shepherd of our soul, he's the one that has planted that tree. If he planted you and he planted me, it's going to produce good fruits. But we know that lion, snake, that viper, we know that the one who tries to kill and steal and destroy us, Satan himself, he came into the church too. He came in and he planted people into the household of God. He came in and he comes in to try to destroy God's work, trying to distract God's people. And friends, this is where we have to get back into this peace, this place of meditation, to where we can grow and that we can have this private time with God so we can be built up in our most holy faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Brian. God has given us everything we need. So what should we do as we close this up, friends? What is God calling us to do? Our number one priority should be to ask the Holy Spirit to soak our souls. To soak our souls in the presence of Jesus. That is the very best use of our time. We need to do whatever we have to do to make it happen, to have that quiet, intimate time, sometime in the day, that we spend some time with God, soaking, meditating, gleaning from him. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. No TV, no radio, no internet, no phones. Soaking in his presence. If you have to wake up at 3 in the morning to get 30 minutes in because you got a hectic day, wake up at 3. You got to wake up at 2 or wake up at midnight. Whatever, God, if everybody, you have to wait till everybody go to sleep. But you make sure that you get some soaking time. You get in the pool with Jesus. And you get in the presence with him. So we can get that peace. God wants us to bathe in him. He wants us to soak with him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to hear from him. It's not about us praying all the time. Sometimes he just wants us to live. Remember when Martha went and sat at the feet of Jesus? When Mary was in there, was it Martha or Mary? I'm a little confused. Y'all might help me out. But Martha and Mary, they was going at it. One of them wanted the other sister to come in there help for the food, but she was in there getting the food. She was in there eating because she was listening to Jesus. She was soaking.
She was at his feet, hearing the Master speak and minister. She was hearing God Almighty, the Son, who came down from heaven. She knows him. She is in a relationship. She's gleaning all she can. Lord, speak to me. She wasn't concerned about the vittles on it that she was trying to fix at the kitchen. In the kitchen, she was concerned about the vittles, that bread of life. She came to get some food for the soul. She came to get some that living water, friends, so she wasn't going to never have to thirst again. Too many of us are looking for water other than where God has called us to get it from. Too many of us are going to get our bread over in Satan's kitchen. And we wonder why it's stale. We wonder why we're not being nourished. Because we're looking at every other place but to God and his word. Again, our priority has to be to spend time with Jesus, soaking in his presence. We need to do whatever we have to do to make it happen. This reality of Jesus within our soul causes a miracle to happen. Faith reaches out and writes a blank check to Jesus. His presence is so full of joy that to leave and go back into the rat race is no longer an option for us. And you know what, friends? Since I've been really doing this on a daily basis, I don't get caught up in a lot of nonsense. I really don't. Because I keep myself occupied with the things of God, it really takes me away from the things that the world will try to draw me into. It keeps me away from those things that's going to cause me to want to look at things that can cause me to have temptations more open, the doors opening up. Look, I struggle with sin just like the rest of y'all. I struggle with residue sin of pornography. Not that I go and look at it, but my mind wants to go there. My body wants to go there. My attitude or my thinking sometimes take me there. I don't entertain it. But I tell you, I have to struggle. I have to check myself before I wreck myself. And this is where we have to get back. When we feel ourselves weak and faint, and we feel ourselves going back in those places, so go and spend some time in that closet or wherever you need that quiet moment to get in that soaking, get in the pool, that pool with Jesus. And so let the rat race and let the things of this world distract you, these things and thorns and thistles that come and try to take us away, try to hinder our walk and hinder our growth. The secret, the best-kept secret in the world that few people know, even Christians, is that your healing is in a quiet silence in the Master's presence. Your abundance, your very need is at the feet of Jesus. The answers to all your questions are to be found in the solitude when it's just you and Jesus. That pure love that you've been longing for all your life is waiting for you in the stillness of your heart. It is as near to you as your next breath. You don't have to work and strive for it and do a multitude of religious things. That's a deception. Just be still and know Jesus. Be still and know Jesus. I'm going to ask, does anybody here not know Jesus? Is anybody here that don't know Jesus? Today is the day that you need to know him so that you can have this relationship, a relationship of assurity that if you die tomorrow or die in the next 20 minutes, that you are secure, that you know him, that you know him, and that he knows you. Care what you did. I don't care where you've been. I don't care the things that you've been involved in. You could have been the most vile, wickedest person out there on this planet. But God's grace, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness is still available if you come to the foot of the cross and just say yes to Jesus. I want you to just confess your sins and turn to Jesus and be still and know him. I don't want nobody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish.
But he does want you to come to repentance. He does want you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. But you must come by faith. You must come by faith. You must turn from your sin and turn to the King of Glory so you can be forgiven. Be still. Be still and know Jesus. We have to tell ourselves that. You guys need to type it to me sometime. Be still and know Jesus, girl. I said to be still and know Jesus, Sandra. Be still and know Jesus, Brian. Be still and know Jesus, Tracy. That's how we have to encourage one another. Be still and know Jesus. Sometimes we don't need to talk. We just need to listen. Get in his feet and just soak. Just soak. And let him speak to us. So, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you, Lord God. We thank you for the exhortation and the rebuke, Lord. I know I do. This is a conviction as well as an encouraging message to me, Lord. So many times, Lord, I've been anxious. So many times I've been trying to fix or find peace, Lord. And I've allowed the things of this world, the cares of this world, the riches of deceitfulness, and things of that kind of have me twisted and worried, and just want to be still and know Jesus. I don't want to walk around looking for peace that already has been given to me. I don't want to walk around looking for anything apart from you. I want to be still and know you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. This message, I thank you for your anointing upon this. I thank you, Lord God, for speaking to me personally and to all who have had ears to hear and a heart to receive this book. May we all be still and know you. But I just ask, Lord God, that you would touch my brothers and sisters, Lord God, that they would be still and know you, that they would continue to grow and draw closer to you, that you would draw closer to them. We ask, Lord God, that you would touch this ungodly and wicked world, Lord God. May we be anointed, Lord God, that we would be a refreshing to those who are in darkness, those who do not know you and have a relationship with you. And we would go out and share this powerful, powerful gospel, which is able to change, which is able to resurrect and regenerate the lost, the dying world. We thank you, Lord. We pray that this message was a sweet-smelling aroma in your nostrils today. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Everyone said amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you guys for being here today. This was also on Blog Talk, so you guys can share the blog cast. Again, just share it on your Facebook pages. For those that don't watch the video live stream, they can always catch the Blog Talk message. So, again, friends, thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with me. And, again, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Let me see if we had any phone calls before I cut off. I don't know if anybody was on, nobody's on here. Again, hey, be encouraged. And, again, continue to pray for our ministry. Continue to pray for the GoFundMe account. You can donate. Prayerfully consider doing that. I don't know. We might do. No, I won't be able to do anything later. I'm probably going to be at a home group Bible study tonight. But we'll be back tomorrow at 12. I will be doing Proverbs chapter 20. We'll be going through that verse by verse in Proverbs 20. So please, at noon tomorrow Pacific Standard Time, join me on Blog Talk Radio. But we'll be up doing a devotional before that. So look for our morning devotion and to be encouraged and stimulated in love and good works. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace, my brothers and sisters. And have a great day. And remember, be still and know Jesus.